The biggest Bitcoin accumulation day for years, a Bitcoin whale is on the move for the first time since 2019, and the SEC wants $2 billion out of Ripple. Good morning, you're listening to the Rise in Crypto podcast by Cointelegraph, with me, Robert Baggs, steering you through the crypto cosmos with daily dispatches from the digital frontier. If you want to stay ahead of the curve in crypto, then make sure you click that follow button. Okay, grab yourself a coffee, and let's get into it. This is an enormous episode, but still condensed into the usual time frame. We're going to start by looking at Bitcoin in the past 24 hours, and there is just so much to cover. High accumulation, low supply, Bitcoin whales moving $6 billion worth of Bitcoin, and that's before we get onto the spot Bitcoin ETFs. Then we'll look at the SEC wanting $2 billion worth of fines and penalties out of Ripple, and finally, five dangers of going full degen in meme coins. So what did I say yesterday? We felt primed for chasing new all-time highs and Bitcoin duly delivered. I should start selling one of those awful courses on Telegram. Anyway, Bitcoin is back north of $70,000, and at the time of recording this, which is 7 a.m. Eastern, we are just shy of $71,000. As Bitcoin marched its way back up, Zoltan Varde wrote a piece of analysis that's worth highlighting. Coinbase has hit its lowest reserves of Bitcoin in 9 years, with 344,856 as of last week. Zoltan suggests that this shows investors are back accumulating BTC off of exchanges. On that note, accumulation addresses, in this case wallets with over 10 BTC but no outgoing transactions and no ties to exchanges or mining firms, has rebounded and nears record highs according to Glassnode, a strongly positive indicator. But the salient point here is supply. I'm going to quote Zoltan directly. In total, Bitcoin reserves on all exchanges hit a 3-year low of 1.92 million Bitcoin on the 25th of March, according to data by CryptoQuant. In other words, the price of Bitcoin might still have more room to run, with BTC supply on exchanges at historic lows and demand from exchange-traded funds, ETFs, already attracting billions in inflows. So it is the return of that supply-demand dynamic, and I'll just add that this is all pre-halving, remember, and the halving is only a few weeks away. In fact, on that topic of the halving, Martin Young wrote a piece as BTC was breaching $71,000 that questioned whether the pre-halving retrace is over. The blockchain analytics firm Santiment reported yesterday that Bitcoin caught traders off guard as key stakeholders had a huge accumulation day on Sunday. Wallets holding between 10 and 10,000 Bitcoin accumulated 51,959 BTC on Sunday, which is one of the largest accumulation days in years. The thing is, the whales aren't just accumulating. One of the biggest Bitcoin whales on the planet has woken up after a near 5-year nap. Arkham Intelligence yesterday flagged that the fifth biggest Bitcoin whale, dubbed 37X, has moved over $6 billion worth of Bitcoin to three new addresses. This is the first time the whale has moved their Scrooge McDuck-sized fortune since 2019. 37X moved a total of 94,504.03 Bitcoin. But despite being the whalest of whales, we don't know who this wallet belongs to. But alongside the question of who is the question of why. Why are they moving such a large stash of Bitcoin? With strong institutional interest, the whale could be looking to have some ready to sell as we chase new all-time highs, but the truth is we just don't know yet. Now on that note of institutional interest, let's update you on the spot Bitcoin ETFs. I said yesterday that it looks as if the Grayscale Bitcoin Trust outflows are starting to dry up, and I was completely wrong, so I should definitely make that Telegram course. Last Monday, GBTC's outflows were enormous, but they fell every day until Friday they were at $169 million. We were all hoping to see that trend continue, but then yesterday we saw the rather significant $350 million worth of outflows, according to data from Farside. However, it wasn't all doom and gloom. The 10 spot Bitcoin ETFs saw positive flows overall, albeit just, at $15.4 million. One thing that was particularly interesting about it, though, is that for once, it wasn't BlackRock trying to outpace Grayscale's outflows. It was Fidelity's FBTC that topped the inflows with $261.8 million. That said, BlackRock has recorded many days of more than that, and that's becoming a story in itself. The spot Bitcoin ETFs have become such a central feature of crypto since their approval at the start of this year that it's already difficult to imagine the sector without them. On the one hand, we have seen inordinate and insatiable demand for Bitcoin that has likely been the primary fuel for this current bull market. And if the stats are to be believed, they've done so without the FOMO investing of retail. BlackRock's inflows in particular have been monumental, and before last week's downturn, they were accumulating an average of 7,200 Bitcoin per day. Now, on the other hand, Grayscale has offloaded an average of 4,150 Bitcoin per day for the past 2 weeks, and that's excluding yesterday, totaling tens of thousands of Bitcoin in outflows since converting to a spot Bitcoin ETF in January. The focus on this push and pull dynamic is mainly on whether Grayscale will ever let up and just how much BTC BlackRock's iShares Bitcoin Trust, IBIT, is buying. Well, Tom Mitchell Hill wrote an interesting piece yesterday about IBIT versus GBTC and noted a jarring truth on the horizon if the status quo continues. The YouTuber George Tung of the channel Crypto R Us said in a recent video, "BlackRock is going to flip Grayscale soon. I say within the next 2 weeks, it's going to happen." Surely not. Grayscale has been on the throne of Bitcoin holdings for years. To put it in perspective, at the tail end of the last bull market, they held around 650,000 Bitcoin. However, at the time of recording, that is down to around 350,000. That is, of course, still an enormous holding, but that's also a very big drop. Meanwhile, since January, BlackRock's IBIT is up to around 238,500 Bitcoin. So if these two titans continue with their averages, the gap between them of 110,000 Bitcoin will shrink by around 11,000 Bitcoin per day. So to quote Tom, assuming no drastic changes in the rate of the inflows and outflows, BlackRock could overtake Grayscale in the terms of total Bitcoin held by the 11th of April. If BlackRock surpasses Grayscale, it will officially become the world's largest institutional holder of Bitcoin. That's incredible in its own right, but doing that from zero holdings just a few months ago is mind-blowing. And bear in mind that Cathie Wood, the CEO of ARK Invest, believes we're only just getting started with institutional investment. The United States Security and Exchange Commission versus Ripple Labs and its CEO Brad Garlinghouse, as well as its co-founder Chris Larson, has been a drawn-out affair to say the least. But yesterday, according to Ripple's chief legal officer, Stuart Alderote, the SEC is set to ask the judge today for $2 billion in fines and penalties. Alderote posted on X yesterday that an SEC brief will be made public requesting this extraordinary sum, and he added that, "Our response will be filed next month, but as we have all seen time and time again, this is a regulator that trades in statements that are false, mischaracterized, and designed to mislead. They stay true to their form here. Rather than faithfully applying the law, the SEC remains bent on wanting to punish and intimidate Ripple and the industry at large." Alderote is, of course, referencing the story we covered last week where a Utah judge imposed sanctions on the SEC for acting in bad faith with evidence it provided against the crypto firm DebtBox. So it does feel like the SEC is operating from a place of weakness right now with regards to cases against crypto companies. Brad Garlinghouse said of the proposed $2 billion fine, "There is absolutely no precedent for this." He added, "We will continue to expose the SEC for what they are when we respond to this." I've ended a few episodes lately on meme coins. Some trader went to the moon, another trader bought a rocket, then forgot to get on and missed out on millions, that sort of stuff. However, I've also shown my skepticism toward them and the lack of underlying value, not to mention my loathing of having to read the names like Dog Whiff Hat and Bonk, which frankly make me sound like an idiot. Anyway, I can't deny they're not fascinating, and an article was published yesterday in Magazine by Cointelegraph, and it's both about meme coins and brilliant. Although meme coins are minting millionaires left and right, most of them aren't. And this article is focusing on that. It's titled "Five Dangers to Be Aware of When Aping into Solana Meme Coins." It's written by Johan Yoon, and you should be clicking the link in the description right now. I won't be offended. However, if you're more of an ear learner than an eye learner, I'll cover a few of my favorite warnings from this piece. The first point is meme coin creators are often totally inept. This could not have been more perfectly demonstrated than last week when the developer of the meme coin Slurf accidentally burned $10 million worth of investors' pre-sale tokens instead of distributing them. Somehow this panned out for Slurf as the extra coverage caused the price to spike, which honestly shows how ridiculous the space is, but even though these pre-sale token folk might be made whole, they missed out on 10x gains and they're not pleased. In the real world, this could have some serious consequences. Winston Ma, an adjunct professor of law at New York University, told the magazine that in a regulated environment, the case might fall under tort law and constitutes gross negligence, which may require the entity to compensate investors for their losses. A second great point on this list is number 3, and this is one I feel like most people forget. Rug pulls are more likely than your meme coin going to the moon. According to a report from Hacken, there were over 100,000 new tokens created in December alone. As Yoon says, at any point, the developer can execute a rug pull by withdrawing all the assets in the liquidity pool, disappearing into the pseudonymous void. Yoon suggests that investors defend themselves from liquidity pool rugs by confirming that the project has locked liquidity. I'm going to force myself to stop there, but there is lots of great advice in this article that's just too long to cover here, so make sure you give it a click. Wow, that was a high density episode, and apologies again for the nasally tone. I cannot breathe right now. But that is it for today, so consider yourself informed. Thank you for listening to the Rise on Crypto podcast by Cointelegraph. If you're enjoying these daily updates, please make sure you let us know by following, subscribing, or leaving a review. Have a great day. Let's do this again tomorrow.